VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And it's a News Roundup Friday here today on Crosstalk. Thank you so much for joining us today on the broadcast. Lori's been very busy with getting stories through the course of this week here, and we're going to share many of these with you here today. We certainly cannot be exhaustive, but we certainly want to give you a very broad look at many of the issues that are going on across the nation and around the world. Just a short time ago, some breaking news came forth from Fox News. The two top Republican senators have formally recommended that the Justice Department and FBI investigate the author of the controversial anti-Trump dossier and the first known criminal referral from Congress as part of lawmakers' Russia probes. State's Judiciary Committee Chair Chuck Grassley and Lindsey Graham made the referral in a January 4th dated letter to the Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and FBI Director, I should say the Deputy Attorney General, and the FBI Director Christopher Wray. The move does ramp up congressional Republicans' investigation of the very salacious document and those involved in creating it, as Special Counsel Robert Mueller continues to probe Russian meddling in the 2016 election and possible collusion with Trump associates. Well, the dossier was rather authored by former British intelligence agent Christopher Steele, hired by opposition research from Fusion GPS. In their letter, the GOP lawmaker cited potential violations for false statements the committee has reason to believe that Mr. Steele made regarding his distribution of information contained in the dossier. It's also interesting, the Business Insider, there's a lot to do with this book coming out, a new Trump book about Trump. The author of this explosive new book about Donald Trump's presidency acknowledged in the book that he wasn't certain all of its content was true, reports the Business Insider. Michael Wolff, the author of Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House, included a note at the start that cast significant doubt on the reliability of the specifics contained in the rest of the pages. Several of the sources, he says, were definitely lying to him, while some other accounts had offered accounts that flatly contradicted those of others. The White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders described the book as complete fantasy, yet we see mainstream media picking up as if the book were factual. Newsmax.com did a story here. 1 year in office, Trump keeps defying his critics. Since the day Donald Trump was elected president in November 2016, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has risen by some 35%, making it the last 14 months one of the greatest bull market runs in history. A special help to those with 401ks and other IRAs, etc. Also, here it is from CNN. The job market may be the only thing hotter than the stock market. U.S. economy added 2 million jobs in 2017, another solid year of gains. Breitbart reports that in the month of December, the unemployment rate for black Americans dropped to just 6.8%. That's the lowest ever recorded level of black unemployment rate in the nation. Now, records did not start being kept until, have been kept since 1972. No records before that time, but the lowest time since records have been kept in this nation. The Hill is reporting last month President Trump took an important step toward ensuring America's long-term national security by signing an executive order to improve access to America's metals and minerals. It also will create some jobs and strengthen domestic industrial base by re-energizing the U.S. mining industry and the value-added manufacturers who turn these mining products into metals, alloys, and eventually consumer products and even weapon systems. The U.S. possesses an estimated $6.2 trillion in mineral reserves, but it still imports nearly $7 billion worth of them every single year. President Trump has sought to address the issue during his first year in office. Also, The Hill is reporting that the president is proposing to greatly expand the areas available for offshore oil and natural gas drilling, including off the Pacific and Atlantic coast. The Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke said nearly all of the nation's outer continental shelf is being considered for drilling, including areas off the coast of Maine, California, Florida, and Alaska. This is a part of the plan to boost domestic oil and natural gas production to create energy dominance and unlock the nation's great energy wealth. WND.com tells us President Trump has scrapped the commission to create that he created to investigate problems with alleged voter fraud, blaming state leaders for refusing to share the data that could help to determine the extent of any problem. Instead, well, he's turning the investigation over to the Department of Homeland Security now and urging Congress to pass a national voter ID law. FoxNews.com, the White House announced yesterday it's banning employees and guests from using personal cell phones in the West Wing, citing security and technology concerns. The security and integrity of the technology systems at the White House, a top priority for the Trump administration. Therefore, starting next week, the use of all personal devices for both guests and staff no longer will be allowed in the West Wing. That was a statement from the press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Although the ban will include official visitors, it's not expected to apply, though, to members of the press. From Fox News, Robert Mueller's special counsel probe gets most of the publicity these days, but there's another investigation involving the 2016 election that's wrapping up and could be just as explosive. You see, for the past 12 months, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice has been conducting a review of the FBI and the DOJ's actions related to the investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server while she was Secretary of State. A final report on the investigation is expected within several months, but in the coming days, the Department of Justice is also expected to provide Congress with many, many more records related to the review, according to the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. A DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz, investigations looking at a variety of allegations, including whether it was improper even then for former FBI Director James Comey to make public announcements about not recommending prosecution over the email arrangements. From the Daily Caller, Huma Abedin forwarded sensitive State Department emails, including passwords to government systems, to her personal Yahoo email account before every single Yahoo account was hacked. Well, we know the strength and integrity there, don't we? A Daily Caller News Foundation analysis of emails released as part of a lawsuit brought by Judicial Watch showed this. Abedin, the top aide to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, used her insecure personal email provider to conduct sensitive work. This guarantees that an account with high-level correspondence in Clinton's State Department was impacted by one or more of a series of breaches, at least one of which was penetrated by a state-sponsored actor, reports the Daily Caller. And The Hill reporting that the Justice Department launching a new inquiry into whether the Clinton Foundation engaged in any pay-to-play politics or other illegal activities while Hillary Clinton served as Secretary of State. FBI agents from Little Rock, where the foundation was started, have taken the lead now in the investigation. Officials who spoke only on condition of anonymity said the probe is examining whether the Clintons promised or performed any policy favors in return for, these contributions to their charitable efforts, or whether donors were made commitments of donations in hopes of securing government outcomes. From FoxNews.com, the deadly protests gripping Iran may not be the final battle between the Islamic Republic's hardline government and its fed-up populace, but it shows the mullahs are running out of time, according to an expert who helps advise Congress. Tehran has moved swiftly to quell the more serious protests since 2009's Green Movement, cutting off social media and mobilizing police and military forces to deal with spreading demonstrations. But the demographics of the protests and the heavy-handed approach to them are boding poorly for the brutal regime, according to Kenneth Gatzma, a senior analyst of Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Persian Gulf affairs at the Congressional Research Service. WND adds to the story, saying that protests have spread to more than 80 cities now, far surpassing the scope of that last protest movement in 2009. The AP's description of the protest is over economic issues. Well, that seems to lack any justification for Iranians taking to the streets en masse, chanting death to the dictator while burning in effigy the image of Supreme Islamic leader Ayatollah Khomeini. CNN says its protests are seemingly unorganized, leaderless wave of demonstrations against high prices, corruption, and repressive government. But folks, there's a whole lot more going on than what's being portrayed in these left-leaning news services. We have here from Israel National News that a leaked report of meetings recently held by Iranian leadership indicates how pressured the regime feels from the last wave of protests that have swept the country. According to Fox News, the report was given to the National Council of Resistance of Iran from high-level sources within the regime and covered meetings up to December 31st between Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini, political leaders, and security heads over how to suppress the current wave of protest. Meeting notes concluded that the unrest threatens the regime's security. The first step, therefore, is to find a way out of this situation. Religious leaders and the leadership must come to the scene as soon as possible and prevent the situation from deteriorating any further, the report said. Charisma News also comments on the story, saying that there's something else going on in Iran that could well be playing an important role in the rising Iranian discontent. And that is, it remains one of the best-kept secrets in the world that despite occasional media reports in the last few years, Iranian Muslims are converting to Christianity at an unprecedented pace, perhaps by thousands every day, they report. That's why Mohabbat News, that's the Iranian Christian news agency, reported in August 2017 that Christianity has been growing at an exponential rate in the last couple of decades in Iran, causing the Islamic government a great deal of concern. In a most recent expression of their distress, one of the high-profile Islamic seminary officials, Ayatollah Burujerdi, stated that accurate reports indicate that the youth are becoming Christians and attending house churches, a great, great concern in Iraq. The Washington Post, an opinion piece by the Vice President Mike Pence, says that unlike Obama, President Trump will not be silent on Iran. He said today the Iranian people are once again rising up to demand freedom and opportunity, and under President Trump, the United States is standing with them. This time, we will not be silent. Months before the protests started in Iran, the president predicted that the days of the Iranian regime were numbered. Speaking at the UN in September, he said the good people of Iran want change, and other than the vast military power of the United States, Iran's people are what their leaders fear the most. Much like another president who made similar predictions about the Soviet Union, the president was mocked. Here's a very concerning story, and as we have heard from so many areas across this nation about the opioid crisis, this headline caught my attention from Bloomberg.com. U.S. life expectancy drops again amid opioid crisis. Americans' life expectancy at birth declined for the second year in a row in 2016 as the nation grappled with an opioid crisis, the first time that's happened in more than half a century. Now, folks, this is 2016 report just coming out. I can only imagine it's going to be far worse when all the 2017 numbers come in. The overall decrease in longevity to an average of 78.6 years was driven by higher death rates among young and middle-aged Americans, even as older people are living longer. Fatal drug overdoses jumped by 21%, and the rate of deaths from synthetic opioids doubled from 2015 to 2016. That's from the National Center for Health Statistics. Very troubling indeed. I mean, we have had so many opioid deaths that the life expectancy as a whole of a nation has dropped for the second year in a row. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what formed Utah's Great Salt Lake?
Chris, the Great Salt Lake is much more salty than seawater because it has water coming in but no rivers leaving the lake. Whatever dissolved solids come in stay there, and as the water evaporates, the lake increases in salinity. It turns out that Salt Lake is really just a leftover remnant of a much larger lake called Lake Bonneville. When the Great Flood of Noah's Day drained off the continents and places water ponded and became inland lakes. Most of these lakes have since drained either through evaporation or through catastrophic failure of the natural dams which were holding them in. Lake Bonneville evidently drained northward through the Snake River Canyon within the last few thousand years. Chris, all the evidence fits that back to Genesis truth of Earth history.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup Friday today and covering a number of issues that have taken place over the last several days. It appears Vice President Pence has his visit canceled to Israel again. The foreign ministry published its list on Monday of dignitaries expected to visit Israel in the upcoming month. And Vice President Mike Pence's name was not there. It's already been postponed twice. His first visit was scheduled for December 18th, but that's when we had this big vote coming up on tax reform. Didn't know if his tie-breaking vote would be needed in Washington. Then they announced his visit would take place on January 14th, but this conflicted with the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu's previously scheduled five-day trip to India. So as of right now, it appears there's not another visit planned at this point to Israel. Also, we have a story here from WND.com, came out very late December. A Texas imam who urged Muslims in a sermon earlier this month to earlier in December, that is, to fight the Jews in Palestine and kill the Jews, is now trying to repair the damage. But Jewish leaders say there is a fundamental problem with his apology. You see, it's been reported that Israel's consul general in Houston, Gilad Katz, pointed out the sermon by the Houston imam also had a response to President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem actually promoted violence and death to Jewish people. Trying to do some backpedaling, but it's not meshing out here at this point. Matter of fact, we've shared often from verses from the Quran that substantiates the death of the Jews. You know, kill the infidels, strike their necks, the Christians and Jews, the people of the book. Very interesting indeed. Operation Rescue named their pro-life person of the year for 2017. They named none other than President Donald Trump. Since President Trump took office, he has accomplished more for the pro-life agenda than any other president, according to Operation Rescue. Troy Newman had very high praise for President Trump, announcing, quote, he has proven to be the most pro-life president we've had in modern history and has backed up his pro-life rhetoric with action like no other before him. Well, not all are happy about this. It's reported that the National Abortion Rights Action League has lashed out at Operation Rescue, talking about calling it anti-choice extremist group with ties to domestic terrorism. So I guess it struck a nerve with them folks. NARAL went on to describe pro-life Americans who work for the protection of the unborn as Trump's extremist fringe base. From LifeNews.com, a new report says that Planned Parenthood abortion business made more money than ever before. Planned Parenthood released its newest annual report over the New Year's weekend. The report indicates the abortion company made more money than ever before. The report shows that the abortion organization had a record income of $1.46 billion and the fifth highest annual profit, $98.5 million in its history. Yeah, they need tax dollars, all right, folks, huh? What do you think about that issue? They had their highest annual profit of $98.5 million, the largest in their history. Also from LifeNews.com, this is an interesting story. Kevin Griffiths, a former employee of the Obama administration, now works for the top abortion business in America. He oversees the abortion group's large communications department, which employs more than 30 people, to focus solely on promoting the abortion chain to the public, according to PR Week. Now, just imagine that. More than 30 people to focus solely on promoting the abortion chain to the public. If it's so good, if they're doing such great service, why is it that they need that kind of promotion? Griffiths told a news outlet, when we are under attack, one of the things we focus on is the health care we deliver. Labels such as pro-choice and pro-life don't describe how the majority of the population feels and tend to polarize people. They stop making the conversation about the individual women. You see, that's where the focus is at present. Don't talk about babies. They don't want talk about babies. Trying to minimize, rather, the strength of the pro-life movement, Griffiths claimed Planned Parenthood's opponents are a small group of very vocal opposition. They're referring to so many of us who regard, have high regard for the sanctity of human life. LifeNews.com also reports that a New York City abortion clinic is advertising a new abortion device to gently and naturally kill babies in the womb. Gentle death. It's called the Soft Touch device, a manual vacuum aspiration machine that aborts unborn babies by sucking them out of the womb. Developed by a Harvard-trained physician named Joan Fleshman, according to the Early Options Abortion Facility. Abortions are sold to women as a quick, easy way out of a difficult or unplanned pregnancy, but they rarely tell women about the consequences. Even if this new abortion device is everything that it makes out, you know, as advertised, its purpose, folks, is still to kill the baby in the womb. While the abortion industry only will use this device, may only take minutes, that loss of the child to the unborn can haunt women for their entire lives. So here we have the creation of a new device to kill babies in abortion in just a matter of minutes. Soft Touch. Daily Caller also tells us Planned Parenthood kicks off the new year with pro-abortion license plates. In Nebraska, they can now adorn their license plates with Planned Parenthood's pro-choice slogan, "My Body, My Choice." The motivation for creating the pro-abortion plates came largely as a response to the Nebraska governor's reveal of Choose Life license plates for pro-life Nebraskans to sport. Officials have a duty to stand up and be a voice for the unborn and most vulnerable, Governor Ricketts told reporters in the unveiling of the new plates. After failing to prevent the pro-life plates from hitting the market, abortion advocates launched their own campaign, resulting in the Planned Parenthood plates. Okay, let's take a look here at the Washington Times. As dozens of its clinics, Planned Parenthood, closed amid a dwindling U.S. abortion rate, Planned Parenthood has moved to diversify its business model by getting into the transgender hormone therapy. Listen to this quote. Response from Planned Parenthood, we're expanding access to care from pioneering research on self-injectable birth control to offering new services for our transgender patients, Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards said in the report's introductory message. Says the report that 17 states now have Planned Parenthood health centers that provide hormone therapy. Troubling story that happened, unfolded in Illinois. And now attorneys with the Thomas More Society have filed a civil rights discrimination complaint with the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Civil Rights. The complaint is over an Illinois law that forces doctors and pregnancy centers to make referrals for abortion even if they have sincerely held religious convictions against doing so. The complaint is lodged against the state of Illinois for its enactment of Illinois Public Act 99-690. The filing charges that the law amends the 1977 Illinois Health Care Right of Conscience Act in a way that puts its that guts its protection, that is, of state and federal conscience rights. The Thomas More Society, acting on behalf of Dr. Jim Gallant, a medical doctor, and Hope Life Center, a pregnancy help center in Sterling, Illinois. I mean, it's unconscionable that state law would require for medical doctors or pregnancy centers to promote abortions and give referrals for abortion, even against their religiously held convictions. Here's a story from LifeNews.com. We have so many that are aborting, saying that we need to abort, you know, deformed babies or babies that will have disabilities or Down syndrome. We hear that over and over again. This story should enlighten you just a bit. Jacqueline Rodriguez hopes to become a nurse someday, to help children like herself who spend a lot of time in the hospital. When she was still in the womb, she was diagnosed with rare facial tumors and given a year or less to live, the Daily Star reports. But She overcame the doctor's predictions, and today she's a thriving 16-year-old. If her mother had listened to the doctors, Jacqueline would be dead. Like many other parents of children with disabilities, Evelyn Rodriguez said doctors suggested that she abort Jacqueline. The doctor said she would have a poor quality of life and probably would die anyway. Well, the mother, Evelyn, refused. She saw the value of her daughter's life, and it did not matter how long she lived or what disability she had. The family has spent a lot of time in the hospital since then, but they're grateful that Jacqueline is alive. Her disability has not stopped her, though, from pursuing her dreams. What is her dream? She wants to be a nurse. She said, I grew up in a hospital helping my nurses take care of others. Living with a disability has not been easy, Jacqueline said. People stare at her because of her facial deformity. Some people have said mean things to her. She said she hopes her story will help encourage other people with disabilities to see the value of their lives. She said, I'm a normal human being. I have health issues like everyone else. You know what I think? I think we ought to say, let's start using the term that's so prevalent today. Stop bullying people with disabilities. That's what's going on, a bullying. And even more than that, they are wanting to murder, kill people with disabilities in the womb. You have this world that's so caught up in anti-bullying. How about saying, let's stop having bullying against those in the womb? Well, January 1st has now passed us, as you know, folks. And here's from thenewamerican.com. Transgender individuals, those who identify, behave contrary to their biological sex, are now free to serve in the U.S. military. The Trump administration opted not to challenge the ruling for now, with the Department of Justice announcing December 29th that it would be releasing an independent study of these issues in the coming weeks. So rather than litigate this interim appeal before that occurs, the administration has decided to wait for the DOD's study and will continue to defend the President and Secretary of Defense lawful authority and district court in the meantime. Can I ask you this question? Who is the commander-in-chief? Who is the commander-in-chief? Is it judges or is it the President of the United States? I mean, if this is we're entering into some very dangerous territory here. When one former commander-in-chief said, yes, we can allow for open transgenderism in the military, and the new commander-in-chief saying, no, we won't. And courts say, well, the first commander-in-chief, we have to abide by what they said, not the current commander-in-chief. Where is our Constitution in all of this, folks? Again, I say we're entering into some very, very dangerous territory here when we have subverted the Constitution once again and now are making judges the commander-in-chief. What action will be coming next in our military policy from the courts? A story that comes to us from the Washington Times, an appeals court ruled against the Oregon bakers who were fined $135,000 for declining to make a wedding cake for a lesbian couple. In its decision, the Oregon Court of Appeals held an administration law judge's ruling that Melissa and Aaron Klein, owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, violated a public accommodations law barring discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Attorneys for the Klein said they are considering all of their options for further appeal. We know there's one such case now before the U.S. Supreme Court. The panel of appellate judges concluded that baking wedding cakes does not constitute speech, art, or other expression protected by the First Amendment. And they're talking about a whole amount of money. Matter of fact, the Kleins closed their bakery in 2016 after they were ordered to pay $135,000. $135,000 in emotional and mental damages to the lesbian couple. We'll be back in just 1 minute. I have a few more stories. Matter of fact, I have a lot of stories, but we'll get just a few more in. And then we'll give you opportunity to call in later on the broadcast as well. It's the News Roundup Friday. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
Today, the hope that all believers on earth will be caught up to heaven is being challenged in new waves of criticism. Is the rapture actually taught in the Bible? Can we really expect Jesus to gather up his followers before the Antichrist is revealed? Will God pour out his wrath on believers? In the book, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture?, Authors Ed Heinzen and Mark Hitchcock examine the concept and the context of the rapture with a thorough defense for the event. They answer questions such as, what is the rapture? Is there any historical precedent for it? Why do some Christians object to the idea of a rapture? And does the timing of the rapture really make a difference? Is it imminent? The authors explore the scriptures on these important issues. Copies of Can We Still Believe in the Rapture are available for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and we thank you for listening to our program and certainly to share the information you learn on this program with others. Encourage them to tune in and listen as well. Keep in mind, we do post links to Crosstalk. It's usually within a couple hours after our broadcast at crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com, or for information on obtaining CDs of Crosstalk, you can certainly call us at 800-729-9829. From LifeSiteNews.com, the Trump administration recently installed a brand new ambassador to Spain. You see, the former Obama appointee, who was a pro-LGBT openly gay man married to another man, was replaced with a family man who has a wife and children. Richard Duke Buchan III has taken the place of former Ambassador James Costas, husband of interior designer Michael Smith, who redecorated the executive mansion for the Obamas. Ambassador Buchan has strong ties to Spain for almost 40 years, studied at universities there in the country as well, and understand that he is the brand new ambassador for Spain. LifeSiteNews.com tells us that the largest conference of Mennonite congregations in the United States is now officially split from the Mennonite community Monday over concerns that the wider church is beginning to affirm LGBT lifestyles. The Lancaster Mennonite Conference had voted to leave the Mennonite Church USA in 2015, and the decision became effective January 1, 2018. The LMC, comprised of 179 congregations in New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, left over the definition of marriage and the sinfulness of homosexuality, according to a report from Religion News Service. This story also came in from the Olympian. State Department of Health officials announced a new rule on Thursday in the state of Washington that will allow people to change their sex designation on their Washington birth certificate from male or female to X. X. The rule takes effect January 27th and is a non-binary option for people who feel they are neither female or male or are both. So that's going to be a new designation there, just X. They also report that minors wanting to change their sex designation must have written consent of their parent or legal guardian and attestation by a licensed healthcare professional. The new rule change does not affect certificates issued for newborns, though, and only applies to people born in Washington. X. Let's see. From the Fox News, Acting Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Thomas Homan said California better hold on tight. Better hold on tight after its liberal Democratic governor allowed a sanctuary state law to take effect this week. He said there's no sanctuary from law enforcement. California better hold on tight. They're about to see a lot more deportation officers if politicians don't protect their communities than ICE will. Homan said illegal alien smuggling organizations will use the California law as a selling point and that Brown bit off a lot more than he can chew. Homan said the Brown and other sanctuary jurisdiction leaders may have violated a U.S. code relating to harboring certain aliens. He said he hopes the Justice Department will look into whether officials can be criminally charged under the statute. There's a whole lot going on right now, folks, too, with North Korea. North Korea dictator Kim Jong-un delivered a New Year's Eve speech on the state-run KCTV television stations on Sunday. This story, this one comes from Breitbart, many news media covering it. saying that the United States is within range of the country's nuclear weapons and that he can deploy them at any time. The entire mainland of the U.S. is within the range of our nuclear weapons, and the nuclear button is always on the desk of my office, Kim said. Well, Newsmax.com points out, and I dislike some of the tit-for-tat sort of things that go on. President Trump Tuesday warned Kim Jong-un that he possessed a nuclear button that is much bigger and more powerful than that of the North Korean leader. He tweeted, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un just stated that the nuclear button is on his desk at all times. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I too have a nuclear button, but it's a much bigger and more powerful one than his, and my button works. FoxNews.com tells us an intermediate-range missile launch by North Korea last April crashed into a town near Pyongyang, possibly causing an explosion and casualties, the diplomat reported on Wednesday. The IRBM launched April 28, 2017. It was the third in a series of failed launches that month. The missile crashed into a city after a minute of powered flight. The explosion caused considerable damage to a complex of industrial or agricultural buildings. Also from Fox News, former UN mission spokesman Jonathan Wachell said Saturday that North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un would be one of the first casualties of war if war with the West breaks out. He said that the North Korean regime is clinging to their nuclear arsenal as a means to ensure both governance and life. And also from Fox News, soldiers in North Korea's army are being given months off at a time, to scrounge around fields to find food, according to a new report that describes the dire state that the reclusive country's food rations. A photo purportedly showing North Korean soldiers rummaging through a cornfield was published recently on Daily NK, a Seoul-based website that covers the North through a network of informants. The website says a poor harvest, a drought, and international sanctions have left the government with reduced food rations. Well, let's open up phone lines today. If you want to comment on these or other current event stories, our number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. North Korea has accepted Seoul's offer to hold talks next Tuesday to discuss Pyongyang's participation in Winter Olympics and other matters of mutual interest. That was said by South Korea's Ministry of Unification, and holding some talks there about that. And also, we find that, Kim Jong-un's, this is coming to us from, Defense One. With about 5 weeks to go until the Winter Olympics in South Korea, North Korea's Kim Jong-un suddenly appeared to reverse course. South quickly accepted, proposing to hold talks next week. We'll find out if that indeed happens or not. And, of course, a lot of people talking about this weather that's going on, this winter storm that's wreaking havoc all across the nation, freezing temperatures, there's snowfall. We've seen it along the East Coast. We've seen it down in Florida. Matter of fact, NBC6 reports it's so cold in Florida that iguanas are falling from their perches in suburban trees. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission also working to rescue sea turtles found floating listlessly on the water near shore due to low temperatures. Boston Globe reports that in addition to freezing temperatures and snow in Massachusetts, a high tide flooded Boston with freezing seawater as ice chunks floated down Atlantic Avenue in downtown Boston. A dumpster bobbed along in the surf of a street in the city's seaport. Tides erupted in the South Shore neighborhoods. And certainly interesting to see this take place. I believe President Trump has called for some of that global warming to come. Interesting report from Climate Depot. Former Vice President Al Gore has weighed in on all this record cold and snow in the U.S. He said it's bitter cold in parts of the U.S., but climate scientist Dr. Michael Mann explains that's exactly what we should expect from the climate crisis. Oh, my. That's exactly, the record cold, the ice, the snow, that's exactly what we should get from global warming, from this climate change crisis. Well, we're going to be talking more about that next week with Dr. Cal Beissner, who's going to be joining us one of the days next week on Crosstalk, Lord willing. Let's go to Northport, Florida. Kaya, you're on the air. Are you shivering in Florida today?
Yeah. I want to comment on this whole, people promoting abortion and doctors that say that, you know, babies have, they might have these disabilities, and I don't think that these people should resort to killing the babies just because a doctor said that they have a disability, because first of all, you can't always trust the doctors. I mean, because they, you know, they might say that the babies have a disability. You have to just pray for the babies if they, you know, are diagnosed with something like they have a disability. And, you know, we should recognize the value of every human being, and that every person was created to have a purpose, and God made everyone special in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, as the psalmist wrote, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that here today. Appreciate your call. Jim is calling from Meridian, Mississippi. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir. Long years ago, I used to be a Democrat, but I became an independent voter some 50 or 60 years ago. I'm quite old now. I could not be a Democrat anymore, because to be a Democrat, you have to believe in same-sex marriage. You have to believe in abortion. You have to believe in not creating jobs for anyone. And I do not see how a Christian could be a Democrat in the first place. And that's my comment, sir.
Okay. Thank you for sharing your thoughts today, Jim. Mo in Florida, you're on the air.
Yes. It was about North Korea. Mm-hmm. I happened to notice that when you watch the footage on Fox News or whatever, and you see all of them lined up in a row and they're doing their march, notice how much their uniforms flap, especially the top, the jacket. And you really can see how unnerved they are, just because of the way those suits move on them when they do that march in that line in their legs. And I thought, wow, I'd never seen that before. And I thought, there's proof right there. You can see, because those suits, the way they just sink in and come back out when they're doing that, you know, formation of their march or whatever. And I thought, it's not that our military would be looking at that, but I thought that was a real visual to see. How thin they probably really are underneath those uniforms.
It's an interesting observation here, Mo, and we know that food supplies have been very lean, and now the reports of sending military out into the fields to gather whatever nourishment they can should really be sending a message to us, and that's quite a bright observation that you made there.
Especially watch, because they really march with those legs, the way they go, they really move themselves to a degree where you can, like, wow, I mean, because, you know, it's military, but still, it's more, I think, of a performance. Propaganda, but it's telling when you watch the uniform and you see that the sink, the way that uniform goes back in and out. Yeah.
Thanks for the call today.
Yep.
Bye bye now. James in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yep. Yes. Hi. My name is James Schwint. I'm from Bach, Minnesota. I just want to say that every person who votes for a person who is for abortion, every person that works for an abortionist, every person that performs abortions, God will have them in derision until the fires of hell consume them. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, one of the things we see in Scripture from the book of Proverbs, these six things doth the Lord hate, seven are abomination unto him. We see there things such as a lying tongue. We see a proud look listed. But we also see that something God hates is hands that shed innocent blood. We're up against a break, so we're going to quick take that break and come back to further calls. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Recently, one of our listeners sent me a magazine out of the Rochester, Minnesota area. It was advertising Women and Spirituality Conference. As I flipped through the pages of the magazine, it was nothing more than the promotion of Mother Earth worship, Gaia Earth worship, yoga, which means yoga union with a Hindu god, spiritual feminism, which says that God is really a woman. And this is really nothing new. In fact, Paul addresses this kind of feministic Gnosticism in Acts chapter 19, verses 23 to 27. The feminist Gnostic god, false god, that they were worshiping there in Ephesus was named Diana. We also might know her as the Queen of Babylon, Eleutheria, Artemis. Yes, I believe the one world spirituality of a feminine god is growing, and it will lead to a woman that rides the beast, a false church in Babylon.
Just before we go back to the calls here on Crosstalk today, story coming out about Chinese military heading toward the Korean border as residents are warned to prepare for war. Several reports, this is from conservativetribune.com, several reports out of the China-North Korean border area indicating that Beijing is massing People's Liberation Army troops on the frontier, has told them to prepare for war. Columns of People's Liberation Army trucks have been pictured on the move. Close to the triple border between China, Russia, and North Korea, the UK Star reported Tuesday. According to a computer translation of the Korean language, Daily NK, military trucks have been moving into position at night so as not to attract the attention of locals. Also, a story in Breitbart tells us that the Chinese communist leader, Xi Jinping, assured listeners in his New Year's Eve speech that China has something to say on international issues in 2018, promising that under his regime, Beijing will be a keeper of international order. In a speech before the media, he promised to eradicate all poverty from China by 2020 and said they will be the keeper of the international order. And from Newsmax, the Center for Disease Control here and Prevention has announced a January 16th briefing on the public health response to a nuclear attack, an event coming amid tensions between the U.S. and North Korea. Quote, while a nuclear detonation is unlikely, it would have devastating results and there would be limited time to take critical protection steps, the CDC notice states. Despite the fear surrounding such an event, planning and preparation can lessen threats, or rather lessen deaths and illness. That meeting coming up, that briefing, January 16th. Courtney's calling from Miami, Florida. Hi, Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints out there, every one, last one of you. May God bless you this year. It troubled me yesterday on the program where they mentioned that the president's life, people were even thinking about assassinating him.
Yeah.
I remember, I'm 77 years old, but I remember that even if you talked about doing something like that to the president, you would be put in jail.
Yeah.
And also this new thing that they have, kill babies in the womb, to suck them out the womb. That's just showing that the innocent blood that we are shedding, God is looking at that. And he's given us a chance to witness to people for souls to be saved before he really judged this land.
Yeah.
And I just say, God bless all you saints and pray that every church service that they hold, that people's souls be saved and the preachers don't come down, but preach the word of God.
Yeah.
God bless you now.
God bless you, Courtney. Thank you for the call. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He warned that there would be a time when people would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, just being preached to what sounds good to the flesh, make you feel good. Certainly, Paul said, preach the word. Matt's calling from Friendly, Ohio. You're on the air, Matt.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the gentleman that called and said about not being a Democrat anymore because of the abortion issue and the gay marriage issue and all that. I'm not sure. Too many people are probably not aware of Romans 1, 28 to 32, where it talks about, says, and I quote, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and that's the Democratic Party, they've taken the word God out of the platform, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors. It goes on to say all these things, and then at the very end, the very last part of the scripture says, and who, knowing the judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So this puts you in judgment. This is really a serious scripture. And we've got people that either don't go vote because the candidate isn't perfect, so they're voting for an evil person, or they actually go vote for a Democrat who, if you're approving of those who practice them, you're doing the same thing. I don't think that people really understand what aiding and abetting to God actually means. If you're voting for somebody, if you're approving of somebody that supports those things, you are just as guilty.
Matt, thanks for sharing your thoughts on that issue here today. We have a caller phoning in. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, I wanted to comment on what an earlier caller said about not always believing what the doctor says. Mm-hmm. My daughter and her husband were told that their soon-to-be-born child was a child with Down syndrome. They didn't care one way or the other. They, of course, kept the child, and at birth, the child did have some heart defects, which were corrected at age 3. She is now a happy, highly intelligent 10-year-old that people have a hard time keeping up with. Hmm. So you can't always believe what you hear.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that today.
Thank you.
Joan in Iola, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. In 2015, an evangelist who also moves in the prophetic ministry, the Lord told him to tell Houston they would be inundated in water. This was 2015. And when he landed at the Houston airport, the Lord told him, be sure you tell the people what I told you. Well, he told the congregation in 2015 in Houston, Texas, that they were going to be inundated with water. But he did not know when. Well, now we know this past year in 2017, it was inundated. Well, he heard from the Lord again regarding this.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I want to go into extra biblical revelation because I really believe that the aspect of forth-telling the Word of God, there are those who have all kinds of claims that will be made, and I just don't care to give a platform here for this, Joan, because I don't know where we're totally going with the conversation here, but certainly we have God's revealed Word to us through the Holy Scripture, and that's something we know we can completely rely upon 100%. There are many who make prophecies that are not 100% accurate. We've run into many problems there. So thank you for understanding. But I'm going to move on very quickly. Julie in Pensacola, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And I was just thinking about the North Korean ruler, Kim Jong-un. If he is threatening our country with his nuclear bomb, and I just think of all the other past rulers that came up against Israel, and yet the Lord prevailed in all of those.
Yeah.
And it's God's timing when this earth is going to end.
And I agree. We're out of time. Our theme music is playing. Certainly God is sovereign. He's in control. Thank you so much, Julie. I wish we had more time. Well, folks, our program is done here for today. Thanks for joining us. Maybe this is a year the Lord will return.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.